Good morning. Welcome to the chapel gathering this morning. I don't know about you, but I was struck by the beauty of God's creation from the moment that I woke up and peeked out, and it was just starting to get light, and I saw the snow. I delight in the snow. I delight in God making this world as beautiful as it is. We begin our preaching class student sermons today. So over the rest of this semester, you'll have an opportunity to be a lab for our preaching students, who will be experimenting with different ways to express themselves and to express God's good news and to express Jesus Christ in our community. So I invite you to listen with graciousness, to receive Nathaniel's words today. I give him special kudos for courage today because we've only had 3 classes. And so I consider it an act of bravery to come up here the first time. But I look forward to hearing the good news preached from here by our students this semester. So I invite you to take a deep breath, to recognize that it is not just we humans who gather in this space this morning, but we gather here with the Spirit of the living God. Let us worship that wonderful Creator.
Prayer as an infinite space. Prayer is an infinite space. From quiet reflections to single breaths in times of chaos. Prayer holds time back for a singular, unending moment. We bask in this act with both awe and trepidation. For as we pray, we are looking toward God. We are seeking communion with the inventor of time. God holds time, and when we are held, time is no reality that need concern us. The Spirit gently holds both our hands and the ticking hands of our mind's clock. Ever active, ever busy, ever crowded, entering into infinite space of prayer allows us to live into true humanity. God desires to dwell in this infinite space, prayer without ceasing. For as we continually look toward God, as we seek to know what true humanity is, as we listen to Christ's call, we dwell in infinite space. And it is that space which saves us. Nathaniel Riesler.
343 in the blue hymnal.
Oh. Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Not sure everybody really knows me very well. It's my first semester here, so I thought I'd give a little brief introduction so you know the context of who you're listening to. So I'm Nathaniel Ressler, as you may see in bulletin. I'm 23, the youngest of five. I am a graduate of Heston College, Go Larks, and recently Eastern Mennonite University. I'm an ENFP and Enneagram 2, if you all know what that means. I was born in a little mission town in Oklahoma. My dad was a teacher there. My mom was a nurse. Then my family moved to Washington, Illinois, where my dad was an associate pastor at a church, and my mom was a NICU nurse. Then we moved to Fisher, Illinois, where my dad was an associate pastor, and my mom was a NICU nurse. And then we moved to Mount Vernon, Illinois, where we did mission work through Southern Illinois Mission Partnership. And that's where my parents still are there. So during high school, I was kind of a missionary of sorts in my own context. So I'm a PK and an MK, and in high school, I was an M. I'm getting married on July 23rd, and depending on a thousand circumstances, I might end up here for the rest of my seminary, or I might go to AMBS, or, you know, wherever else I end up. Anyway, so that's very briefly who I am. So, this passage is a prayer. It's really easy to tell. Obviously, it's the end of the passage. It says, I pray in a bunch. There's the doxology. It says, I'm amen at the end. So it's really easy for it to be identified as a prayer. And it opens up with this, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. So obviously you ask, well, what reason are you bowing before the Father? And so earlier in the chapter, talking about the mystery that's been revealed, and in verse 6 it says, that is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and shares in the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. So this is kind of the reason that this prayer has been initiated for the Ephesians. So keeping that in mind as we're going through this passage, and I'll come back to it in a little bit. So the first thing that stood out to me when I was first reading this passage was verse 17, where it says, And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Quick side note before I go on. The title on the bulletin has nothing to do with my message. I had to provide a title before I had a message. So just in case you guys are in suspense. Anyway, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. So this is the NRSV saying you are being. So that's the present progressive tense. And what I really found interesting about the use of that tense is that it denotes like a process, a journey, that something is happening, you are being rooted, and it's going to continue to happen. It's moving on into the future. And I found that really interesting, and it really engaged me Because when we think about this journey, this process we're on, at times it can kind of feel like a static thing. Like it's this and it's just this. But with this kind of present progressive and this process of you are being rooted, it kind of creates this dynamic nature to where we are. And then also, when in the relation to this rootedness, I thought about you are being rooted in the love of rooted and grounded in love. And I thought back, and I think to times now, and there's a number of times where I found I'm not rooted in love. I found that so root systems seek out nourishment. They're moving, trying to find what's going to sustain them, what they can rely on. And I've found that sometimes, whether I've been deceived by others or I deceive myself into thinking that there are things that are going to sustain me or that are going to nourish me when they're not. An example of this, I think, is at one point in my life, I was very engaged with politics, not in the sense of activism, but in the sense of like reading and knowing a lot about the candidates and all this stuff and political systems. And I think unintentionally, slowly, I started to root myself into the political system. I started to root myself into politics. And this, over time, I started to realize a lot of my joy was being stripped from me. And my hope was being stripped from me, and I was having this attitude of cynicism and these attitudes of despair. And I think some of the biggest thing that when I was thinking about being rooted in love, the love of Christ, is that I was trying to root myself into finite things, things that had ends, things that weren't infinite, weren't beyond infinite, as we are when we're rooted in the love of Christ. And kind of reflecting about that experience, about kind of that process that I was in, that rootedness in the political systems, so to speak, I realized just how much this kind of the present progressive is important. You are being rooted. And this daily process kind of speaks to the amount of intentionality it takes to remain rooted. And for me, as I was looking at this passage, in the sense that it is a prayer, I think there are a lot of different ways that the author could have said these things. They could have talked about it in a more theological light. He didn't have to use it in the sense of a prayer. But I think, at least for one degree, the author did this intentionally, in that prayer helps us maintain this intentionality. Remaining in prayer, being diligent in prayer, helps us remain rooted in this love, rooted in this infinite. Another danger, I think, is that I often try to root myself in myself. I don't know if anybody else does this, and that'd be awesome if none of you do, but I know I do. I start to rely on myself. I try to nourish myself. I try to sustain myself. I try to rely on Nathaniel. And even, I think, sometimes I've seen this in different communities I've been in, and in the Mennonite community, also. I'm Mennonite, so I can make fun of Mennonites. But at times we start to rely on our community, and while that's good and well, the community is finite. The community has an end. And instead of relying on, instead of rooting ourselves in love in Christ, we root ourselves in this community we're a part of. And while communities can be rooted, I think there's a complexity there that we sometimes miss. But we're finite, and our communities are finite. And so I was reading on, And verse 18 and 19, it says, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So we're rooting ourselves in Christ, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that is has this nature that is greater than infinity. And I think in that, we are able to be filled because of this, because we're rooting ourselves in the infinite nature of Christ's love, we are able to be filled with the fullness of God. And I think prayer very much is very heavily connected to this reality, in that we are praying individually and we are praying as communities, and we're coming before God and we're connecting, we're seeking to connect with God, we're listening to God, and this listening helps us remain grounded, helps us remain rooted, which as we pursue the understanding of this incomprehensible, this unknowable amount of love, unknowable truth, we begin to find the fullness of God. God will fill us. Another element of prayer that this passage talks about is this listening, being strengthened in our inner being. And so I think through power in that sense, through prayer, power is given. The Spirit strengthens our inner being, and we interact and commune with the Spirit in prayer. And so this gives us, get ahead of myself sometimes, this gives us the ability to root ourselves in love because of the strengthening of the Spirit through prayer. Something also that, while I was reading this passage and thinking about it, that I thought of a number of times, is that God doesn't force fullness upon us. God will not, the Spirit is not going to force you to be strengthened. We're not, Christ is not forcing us to, for us, forcing rootedness in Him. And I think prayer, as we come forward, interacts with this invitation God gives us. God invites us to be full. God invites us to be rooted in love. God invites us for our spirits to be strengthened, but is not going to force us. And this connects back, I think, to the why he was bowing his knees. So in verse 8 it says, bring to the Gentiles. So in our context, maybe everybody, the news of the boundless riches of Christ. So connecting that invitation to bring to the Gentiles, to bring to everyone the news of the boundless riches of Christ, I think about verse 20, this is the beginning of this doxology. It says, now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. As I have come to know prayer, prayer helps us know what to ask and sparks our imaginations. Prayer is this driving force. Prayer is this supporting and driving force as we go and profess and proclaim the boundless riches of Christ. And even in times when we don't know what to pray, what to ask, we don't know what to imagine, the Spirit is there. And even if it's just the murmurs of the Spirit, and even if it's just a thought or a picture or an image or something, we can be confident. This is an encouraging thing for me, I think, that we can be confident that God can hear us through our inability to find the words to say. God can hear us through our inability to know what to pray about, to know what direction to do. God is not limited by our ability to ask.
God is not limited by our, God's ways are not limited by our shortcomings. God wants to use us. God is inviting us to be full, inviting us to be rooted in love. God is inviting us to be used, to reveal the boundless riches of Christ in the world. So I think in prayer, we need to, with prayer, we start this process of asking, of imagining, of looking for what it is, looking how we root ourselves in Christ. And I think in this, we begin to become a community that is rooted in Christ, that is empowered and strengthened by the Spirit to go and do the work, to the mission, God's mission in the world. So, let us be rooted then in Christ's love as we prayerfully pursue our calling to God's mission in this world. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.